Oyez, oyez, oyez. All persons having business before the Honorable, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the Court is now sitting. God save the United States and this Honorable Court. Be seated, please. Case number 08-1312, Secretary of Labor, Mine Safety and Health Administration, MSHA, Petitioner versus National Cement Company of California, Inc. et al. Ms. Rosenbluth for the petitioner, Ms. Lopez for the National Cement Company of California, Inc., and Mr. Wool for the intervener.
Good morning. May it please the Court.
Good morning.
I am Robin Rosenbluth, and I represent the Secretary of Labor in this case. With me at council table is Christian Schumann. I would respectfully ask the Court to reserve 7 minutes for rebuttal. As you know, the issue in this case is whether the Secretary's interpretation of the term mine in Section 3H1B of the Mine Act is reasonable. Section 3H1B defines the term mine to include roads that are, one, private, and two, appurtenant to extraction areas. The Secretary interprets Section 3H1B as encompassing the non-public access road at issue in this case. That road provides the only vehicular access to an extraction area, and miners are required to use the road hundreds of times a day, often in heavy, dangerous trucks. This case arose out of a citation MSHA issued because there are no berms or guardrails on the road.
Let me ask you, your argument is that we are looking at this as a Chevron 2 analysis?
That's correct.
And that's always a nice burden to have, Chevron 2. But don't you face a particular burden in that the first panel to look at this case was worried that the Secretary's interpretation would lead to absurd results? And
The first panel was concerned about certain issues if the road was deemed a mine.
I think the phrase was absurd results, right? And you've come back with an interpretation that's largely the same.
We continue to deem the road to be a mine. However, in response to the court's holding that the Secretary is required to cite all violations at a mine, even if they have no appreciable effect on miner safety, we have reformulated our interpretation to the extent that we are using Section 3H1B to apply to the road in question, but Section 3H1C of the Mine Act, which includes within the definition of mine property and equipment.
It still doesn't deal with the problem that the original panel identified, that National Cement will have limited control, limited authority over people who use the road.
Under the Secretary's interpretation, only operators under the Mine Act can be cited for violations. And Section 3D defines the term operator as...
But there are more than violations at stake here, right? I mean, there are scenarios under which National Cement would have to remove all persons from the mine, right? How are they to do that if the mine is the road and we're talking about all persons? Isn't that precisely the sort of absurd result that the first panel was concerned about?
There are two answers to that. If the Mine Act does state that if the Secretary issues a withdrawal order for various reasons, the operator is required to remove all persons from the affected area. The Secretary has interpreted that provision, given the definition of operator, to only require the operator to remove persons it has the authority to remove. And the exact same situation...
Wait a second. I thought the regulation said remove all persons.
It does, but the Secretary,
the Secretary will just interpret that in a way not to obey.
Under the definition of operator, which defines an operator to be persons who control, supervise, or have authority over the mine. And
that's National Cement, and they are an operator on the road. What do they do when they're supposed to withdraw all persons from the mine, all persons from the road? You're saying the Secretary has decided that they'll only withdraw all persons from the road over whom they have control?
That's correct. And the exact same problem.
That's not what the regulation says, though.
Well, the exact same problem occurs in extraction areas. Under Section 3D, independent contractors performing services at a mine are by definition operators. They can also be issued withdrawal orders, therefore, and they certainly do not have the ability to withdraw all persons from the area affected by an extraction area because it's very unlikely that they have the authority to withdraw persons who employees of the production operator or the owner-operator of the mine.
Is the Act only concerned with safety of those people who are in the mining industry? I mean, if there's a disaster in the mine, are they only supposed to withdraw people who are employed by a contractor or the mine?
If I'm visiting there with my children? The Act's primary concern is the protection of miners, but certainly if there's an accident.
I'm talking about withdrawal orders right now. That's what we're talking
about. If there's an accident, the Secretary under Section 103J has the authority to issue any order necessary to protect life. So if there's an accident, the Secretary is required to withdraw or to protect all persons. However, if there was an accident on the road,
and how's the secretary supposed to do that?
Secretary can issue a withdrawal order under her interpretation, also to Tehan. Tehan, under the secretary's interpretation, is also an operator because Tehan has right-of-way control over the road, and therefore it falls within the definition of operator in Section 3D of the Mine Act. Also, it asserts that it has maintenance control over the road, and therefore it is an operator because of that.
Isn't it the owner of the road?
Excuse me?
Isn't it the owner of the road?
The owner of the road or any other person who operates, controls, or supervises.
But isn't Tehan the owner?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Tehan is the owner of the road. So.
Why does the secretary need any more authority than that?
The secretary interprets Section 3D as requiring the owner to also have the ability to control, operate, or supervise the mine. But you don't have to reach that issue in this case because under either the interpretation that the owner is automatically an operator or the interpretation that the owner has to control the road, Tehan is an operator, and if there was a need for safety reasons or for the secretary to exercise her authority under the Mine Act, she would issue a withdrawal order to both Tehan and National Cement, and all persons necessary could be protected. And Tehan has, you know, asserted that Tehan to be an operator is unreasonable because Tehan has no sort of connection with the extraction area. But as this court has recognized in Otis Elevator, all independent, in Section 3D of the Mine Act, Congress plainly meant for all independent contractors who perform services at a mine to be deemed operators, even if their services have nothing to do with extraction. And certainly, if that is reasonable and what Congress plainly intended, then it is reasonable the secretary submits for Tehan also to be deemed an operator. Tehan, in fact, owns the extraction area land, and it receives royalties by virtue of the business arrangement it struck for every ton of cement that is shipped on that road.
I just have one question. Judge Griffith asked you, what do you do about the fact that the prior panel said that the results would be absurd? And then you started to answer. I don't read the prior panel as saying that the results would be absurd.
That's correct.
Can you tell us exactly what it is that the prior panel did say?
The prior panel said that that there are concerns with the secretary's interpretation that the secretary is in. Well, required to consider under the Chevron.
Let's get the language exactly right. On page 1075, the prior panel said, both National Cement and Tehan identified, quote, absurd results they claimed would arise, right? And then at the end of that paragraph, we said, these are not frivolous concerns. That's hardly the same thing as saying that we thought it was absurd, right?
That's correct.
If we did think it was absurd, we could have not remanded. Could have simply vacated, right?
That's correct. And
instead, what we said was, on remand, you'll have to address these questions.
That's correct, and that's precisely what we did on remand, Your Honor. I see I'm into my rebuttal time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Margaret Lopez. I'm representing the respondent National Cement in this case. I'll be arguing for 10 minutes. Dan Wolf, representing Tejon, will be arguing for 5 minutes. Your Honors, the Secretary's interpretation here is not reasonable because it is not consistent with the plain language of key enforcement provisions of the Mine Act. The Secretary's interpretation here is giving us what amounts to selective enforcement of the Mine Act on the road.
Which language do you think it's on its face it doesn't fit?
Your Honor, there are several examples. One is the withdrawal provisions of the Act, which have been discussed already. They do plainly require that all persons be withdrawn by the mine operator when certain conditions exist at a mine.
And the Secretary has explained that she can accomplish that by issuing a withdrawal order, one, against the owner of the cement company, and the other against the ranch owner.
Your Honor, what the Secretary didn't tell you is that the state of California, the Department of Water Resources, controls the bridge that is located on this road. They also would have to receive a withdrawal order under the Secretary's interpretation in order for the road to be closed. They do use the road for their own purposes as well as controlling the bridge. They have no relationship at all to National Cement's mining operations. Under the interpretation of operator, which the Secretary has given you today, they don't exert substantial control over this mine.
Let's just focus on the big picture for a minute, okay? You agree that this is a road appurtenant to a mine, right?
No, Your Honor, actually,
legal,
we disagree
just
with that.
Just English language, right? This is a road appurtenant to a mine, correct?
Your Honor, actually, we take exception to that. This road does not belong legally to National Cement in the sense that it belongs.
It's physically appurtenant to the mine. It's used by the mine, right, to transport stuff to the main road.
It is used by the mine to transport.
In fact, you don't ever argue, at least I don't remember, that it's not a road appurtenant to a mine. You argue, your argument focuses on who controls it. But you don't argue that it's not a road appurtenant to a mine, right?
Your Honor, actually, we do argue that the road does not belong to National Cement, belonging in terms
right,
of legal terms.
Let me ask it this way. Suppose National Cement owned the road. Would it be a road appurtenant to a mine?
I'm sorry, you said National Cement ruled the road or owned the road?
Owned the road. Would it be a road appurtenant to a mine?
Yes, we would agree with
okay.
that.
All right, so you agree that it fits that definition, and the question is who owns and controls it, right? So you want us, I just want to make sure I understand your position. You want this court to rule that even though Congress has said in clear terms that a road appurtenant to a mine is a mine, that this road appurtenant to this mine isn't.
Your Honor, Congress, there are two parts.
What's the answer to my question?
There is another part to the definition of road, and that's private. We argue that.
Is my question yes? That under your theory, this road would be unregulated?
Your Honor, the road would be regulated by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration.
But not by the mine? Not by this order?
No,
this
it would order. Not be under MSHA. It would not be operated by the mine.
Okay, so,
I have just a couple questions. I think at this point, it actually is important to look at what we said previously. And in our previous opinion, we said the term appurtenant to is ambiguous, and under this definition, the phrase may be construed to encompass a road such as the access road. Now, that binds this panel, doesn't it?
That's correct. It could be appurtenant. It could not be appurtenant.
Right.
It depends upon whether or not you were.
So it's not the language. There's nothing in the text that compels your result, because a panel of this court has already said that.
Yes, Your Honor. I recognize that the court said the term is ambiguous.
And the court. Well, not only that it was ambiguous, but that it may be construed to encompass such a road, right?
That is what the court said.
Similarly, with respect to the word private, we said, under this definition, the term may be construed as the Secretary argued, right? I'm reading
that,
you.
That is what the court said. I do
right.
not disagree.
So, and we're bound by that. At least that much we're bound by.
Right, but the question is, which interpretation of private and appurtenant will carry the day? The Secretary says
yes.
that this
so
road
have,
is
your,
private.
Your answer has to be not that. You opened by saying that what they were talking about was inconsistent with the text of the statute. And we've already said that it is, in fact, consistent with the text of the statute. So you have to argue that it's an unreasonable interpretation of statutory words.
That's right? Correct, Your Honor. And what I'm referring to is that it's inconsistent with the plain language of key enforcement provisions of the Mine Act, including the withdrawal order provision that we just spoke about.
Let me ask you about the withdrawal order. So imagine there's an explosion in the mine, and there has to be withdrawal. Your position is that MSHA can't do anything about it. Is that right? That it can't, and let's say Tejon happens to be having a carnival that day on the road. Your position is that the MSHA has to stand by and let everybody in the mine die because they can't get out and MSHA can't order Tejon to open up the road? Is that your position, that MSHA cannot order Tejon to open up the road if they are blocking the withdrawal of miners who otherwise would die?
MSHA would not be able to. OSHA could.
Well, OSHA doesn't have withdrawal authority, does it?
OSHA does have withdrawal authority for imminent dangers at a mine. I believe it's under Section 13 of the OSHA. Not at a mine, I'm sorry. Under imminent danger conditions at workplaces,
yeah,
OSHA can order employers to do certain things.
Can it order? Well, Tejon is not an employer of the people in the mine, is it?
No, Tejon has its own employees who are on the road.
Right, but I'm trying to give you the worst possible hypothetical, and I want to see how you answer it. Now, with respect to OSHA, Tejon is neither the employer of the people who work in the mine, nor is the road itself under OSHA the place of employment of those people, right? So I'd like you to tell me imagine the worst hypothetical. There's an explosion in the mine, and they're trying to get emergency services into the mine over the only road, and they're trying to get ambulances and everything else out of the mine. And Tejon is having a carnival on the road that day. Of course, I'm not suggesting that this would happen, but I want to know, your position is, could OSHA order Tejon to open up the road?
OSHA could, and Your Honor,
tell me what section of OSHA would allow it to do that, since there's nothing bad happening on the road itself. No employee of Tejon is at risk, and the road is not itself a place of employment.
Your Honor, Tejon wouldn't have the authority to close the road because National Cement does have a right to use the road at any time.
That's fine. I need a section of OSHA. They didn't close the road. They're having a carnival on the road, a block party, great big block party. Tell me this OSHA section that will solve my problem.
Your Honor, to be honest, I don't have a section I can cite for that, but I do know that OSHA does come out and conduct accident investigations in which circumstances OSHA can get an order from a court requiring the employer to cooperate in the investigation.
You told me not to worry. There's another agency out here that will solve this problem. And there is no doubt that this is a problem that the Mine Act is concerned about, it getting people out of a mine, right?
That's correct.
All right. So if you don't have a section, maybe when you sit down, maybe you could think about it and come back with one, or else if you could send us a letter saying what section of the OSHA statute would authorize it under these conditions, not after the fact, after an accident investigation, and not later to get a court to make an order, but immediately when the emergency occurs. The whole purpose of the withdrawal section is to protect miners who might otherwise die in a mining accident. It seems counterintuitive to think that OSHA is the right place and that MSHA isn't, but maybe you have a section.
Well, and while you're thinking about that question, you might want to also think about why that's even relevant. Because I'm not aware of any provision in the Mine Act that says this commission has the authorities prescribed in the Act unless OSHA has the authority. Is there anything like that in the Act?
There's actually the flip side to that in the OSHA Act, which says that OSHA does not.
I was asking about this Act.
I'm not aware of anything in this Act that.
So what difference does it make what authority OSHA has? Don't we just look at this Act?
That's correct. We do.
We just look at this Act, and I guess I haven't seen haven't heard anywhere in your argument or in your brief why it is that the Secretary's interpretation of the Act doesn't solve the problems we identified in our earlier decision.
Well, Your Honor, National Cement would not be able to order the withdrawal of all persons from the mine.
The Secretary has said that National Cement won't be ordered to.
But the Act says she has to be able to do that, and she cannot do that.
She's interpreted it differently.
She's interpreting the plain language differently.
All of them will be ordered to be removed from the road. There'll be just two orders, one against National Cement and the other against Tejon.
There actually would have to be three orders, Your Honor.
Then
the state would have the state would have to be ordered as well. And that's not what the Mine Act says.
Well, who do you think could order? Could OSHA order, you know, California to remove whatever blockage you're talking about?
Well, Your Honor, with all due respect, I would like to be able to submit a letter to the court on that point.
No, but your argument is that it's an unusual kind of argument. Your argument is that the Secretary's interpretation isn't good enough to protect the interests underlying the Act, namely to allow withdrawal. But you're not offering any alternative that's any better to protect those very interests. In fact, the alternative that you're offering seems to be worse. So even if the Secretary can't do everything that Congress maybe in an underlying way wanted, it seems like the Secretary is doing more than you're suggesting. And that's why I'm having difficulty. When you answer, well, they couldn't order California, well, maybe they can, maybe they can't, but unless there's some other alternative under which California could be argued, I don't see why that makes MSHA's position worse. Could you explain it? You understand what I'm asking, right?
Yes, I do think I'm following you, Your Honor. National Cement has complete control of everything that's happening on its leasehold, on its property. It can protect miners there. MSHA has plenary authority to regulate there. This road is used for many purposes besides mining, and it's really no different than the county road that this road connects to. MSHA can't require except the county road to be opened either.
Except for the statute, which provides that roads pertinent to mines can be regulated. That's a fundamental difference between this road and the public road.
But the,
you're ignoring the language of the statute.
Your Honor, the statute, as we submit in this case, says that roads that are private and appurtenant to mines, that means that the production operator has to have control over the road, because otherwise we don't know what to do to comply with the Act.
The Secretary has ruled that the mine owner here does have control over his vehicles on the road, but not other people's vehicles. So it's perfectly clear.
Your Honor, the Act is going to require National Cement, if the Secretary's position is upheld, to take control of people who National Cement has no legal right to control. Tejon users, the film crews.
The Secretary just explained that the Secretary's brief says it will not issue such an order directed to National Cement.
That is counter to what the Act says she has to do.
Wait, I understand you want her to do it. I thought you don't want her to do it.
No, we're saying she doesn't have the authority to do
and
it.
And she says she's not going to do it.
Right.
So
our point is, Your Honor, she cannot do what the Act requires her to do. The Act requires her to order all persons
and
to be withdrawn.
She has interpreted the Act as allowing her to issue orders directed first at National Cement and then at Tejon. And that will get people off the road. So, you have any other questions? Okay. All right.
Thank you.
We'll hear from the intervener.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Dan Wolf for Tejon. If I may, I'd
By the
like
way, just I'm curious. Given the way the Secretary resolved this case, what's your interest any longer?
Why do you care?
I mean, order here is against National Cement, right?
It's true, and some of the incidental baggage that comes with that is that Tejon is now, for the first time since it signed the lease in 1965, deemed an operator. The incidental baggage.
What are you worried that the Secretary might do?
Well,
Secretary's
Tejon,
National Cement to pay for the guardrails, right? Not you.
Correct.
Okay, so what are you worried about?
Well, we're worried about the statement.
And she made it clear that your trucks are not mines, right?
Well, that's true.
Okay, so what's the problem?
Well, we're worried about prospective enforcement because nothing that is said.
What could the Secretary do?
Well, for example,
other than issue a withdrawal order,
if this court decides in favor of the Secretary,
yeah.
We're left. Tejon is left scratching his head. Should it or should it not now apply for a mine ID? Should it or should it not now develop its own mine safety and health training program? Should it or should it not be conscientious?
What's the Secretary said about that?
She says that Tejon should be. She also says that California Department of Water Resources should be. And I think that the BLM and the United States Forest Service might also be surprised to learn that under this logic they would
has
be
the state,
because they control access.
Has California expressed any concern about this order?
The state is not, has not.
Has BLM expressed any concern about this order?
Well, no, Your Honor. But
why don't you go ahead with your argument?
Okay. Well,
let me jump in and ask something. How much money does Tejon get each year from its relationship to National Cement?
Your Honor, I apologize. that may be in
there. Royalty payments for every shipment, right?
There are royalty payments, but let's keep in mind that the royalty payments relate to activities that take place at the extraction area. It's the sale of Portland cement. The road has nothing to do with the royalty payment.
Well, who does the road belong to?
Well, the road is owned by Tejon.
It's a business decision Tejon has made to lease it to National Cement, right?
That's true.
Tejon derives financial benefit from the mining activity, right?
At the extraction area, that's true.
And why was the road built in the first instance?
To improve access.
To what?
Inter alia to the mine.
Mine. It's all about the mine, isn't it? This road is all about the mine.
It should all be about the access, the extraction area. Now, to go to...
But you're ignoring the statute.
Yeah.
The statute has a provision for the extraction area. That's subpart A.
That's true.
And B is roads. Right, and roads are not in the extraction
exactly.
area.
Exactly, and I would reference the Energy West case that at 40 F 3rd that the Secretary cites as an example of when that provision comes into play. There, you had an accident that took place on a road within the gated area of the mine, leading to the parking lot. That's what Congress had in mind. I mean, we're talking about roads that are pertinent within what we think of as the common sense meaning of the mine.
Excuse me. Let's look at the language, okay? A says an area of land from which minerals are extracted. That's A, right?
That's correct.
Okay, that's the area of the mine from which... So clearly any road in that area is a mine, right?
That's correct.
Okay, but it didn't stop there, did it?
Well,
added B. And it said it said roads appurtenant to such areas. So the use of the word such areas, that's areas within which extraction occurs, is by definition not an area where extraction occurs. Correct?
That's true, and this panel has already ruled that that's a permissible reading of appurtenant.
Why are you telling us that the only roads that can be considered appurtenant are roads that are within the extraction?
Well, because, Your Honor, statutes have limits, and it's the role of those who...
Wait, excuse me. Didn't you just say that the previous panel ruled that...
No, I said the previous panel has addressed, and you were speaking about this with Ms. Lopez, the previous panel, there's no doubt, has addressed how that language of pertinence can be construed. But we go back to this notion that the end result
is
absurdity.
This is not a road because it's not within the extraction area. That's your position?
The position is that
if you... Is that your position?
It's not within what we think of as the gated mining area.
Let me go back to the language of the statute. An area of land, okay, quote, from which minerals are extracted, close quote. Simple question. Is it your position that this road is not a mine because it is not, quote, within the area from which minerals are extracted?
Well, that's not quite our position. I would say that the mineral extraction area is a subset of the larger mining area, and that within the gated area, you have not just the extraction area, but you also have other facilities and roads.
I do have a question. Your road is the only way in and out of that mine, right?
Right.
And to ask the same horrible hypothetical I asked of your co-counsel. If there is a disaster in the mine, your position is you have no responsibility at all. That is, no responsibility in the sense of helping people get out, helping emergency vehicles get in, withdrawing even your own traffic from that road. Is that your position?
Being Tejon's position?
Yes. No, I'm not asking your personal position.
Okay. I think the access issue, practically speaking, would not, your hypothetical would not come to pass. First of all, there is a lease agreement that requires that road to be kept open. So the Carnival scenario is actually...
There may be a lease provision, but imagine the lease is broken.
Well,
okay? Or imagine that you just happen to have a lot of traffic on the road, and it is not traffic belonging to National Cement, it is your own.
Your
position is that MSHA can't order you to do anything?
It has no Mine Act authority over Tejon, that's correct. But I would also say...
That you think is consistent. So when we think about what is a road appurtenant to an extraction area, it's totally and completely unreasonable to believe that Congress was concerned about making sure the withdrawal orders would really have some impact, that is, would save miners' lives. Your position is it's arbitrary to think that that's what Congress would have wanted, or irrational to think that that's what Congress would have wanted.
It's difficult to answer it as phrased as such, because it's a more nuanced answer. I mean, frankly, there's always the possibility in this world of hypotheticals that someone, some rogue actor out there, could prevent. Well, exactly, and there could always be a rogue actor.
They help us decide cases.
Who prevent? Well, that's true, and I think my hypothetical will help counterbalance something that Judge Garland, what's concerning you. It's always possible for someone to step up and block MSHA's access, someone who's not an operator, some trespasser who simply just wants to lay down a bunch of...
Of course, but I think as Judge Griffith was getting at here, so the majority of the traffic on the road is traffic having to do with the mine. Your client gets royalties for extractions from the mine, which would be worthless. That is, if there were no way in or out of the mine, if it weren't for the easement that these roads provide, your client would not get any money because it would not be possible for National Cement to do any extracting. So it's not possible to say that the road is totally independent thing or some trespasser or something like that. It is essential to the money that you get for the royalties that you provide an easement, isn't it?
Well, it is a matter of business necessity, yes.
Yes. Right. So it's clear that you have a tie to the mine that nobody else has. And so, no, you're not an innocent bystander here. You are providing the only way in and out of the mine, and the reason you're doing that is to make – nothing wrong with that, but the reason you're doing that is to get royalties off of the sales from the mine.
Well,
isn't that part right, though? At least what I just said, isn't that right?
I cannot say anything against that, Your Honor.
Okay.
That's correct. But going back to the larger picture that Judge Tatel mentioned when he was talking with counsel for the Secretary, I mean, you don't get to the question of, for example, ownership. That's not relevant until you first defined that it's a mine.
I agree.
And all of these arguments, I think, are really equities that backdoor us into calling that road a mine.
No, I think what we're asking is, you have actual words of the statute. I mean, it would be absurd to say that a road is a mine, except for the fact that the statute says a road is a mine. So we're sort of stuck with that, right? The statute says mine means private ways and roads.
In fact, the trucks on the roads are mines, right?
Well, not all the trucks,
Your
Honor.
We're not dealing with people that's, who use that's... English language in the normal way, but this is Congress.
That actually goes to an interesting... Well, I don't think any of us will defend Congress on this one.
We have to follow the word of Congress.
We don't have a choice.
We have no choice.
This is not a problem. I mean, they're obviously using these words in order to get their purposes satisfied. And so they say the word coal or other mine means the area of land, right? That's A, from which the materials are extracted. B, roads appurtenant. And C, equipment used. So... In this case, we can't just look at a dictionary and look up the word road, because in this case, Congress has told us exactly that a mine is a road. Isn't that right?
Congress has used that language, correct.
Okay. So it's not as if we're just looking at background purposes. We're looking at the text of the statute.
I understand. I think it's worth noting that all four commissioners unanimously found that this latest iteration of the rationale was unreasonable.
And what deference do we owe to the commissioners? The Supreme Court has said, and we have said, in light of the Supreme Court's opinion, dozens of times, that our deference is owed to the Secretary and not to the Commission. And I'm right about that, aren't I?
You're right about that.
Okay. Thank you. Does... does the council have any time left? 5.5 minutes.
Whoa.
What are you going to do with it? Maybe you can help us explain how we could possibly write an opinion which says a truck is a mine.
Because
just kidding.
Because Congress said so.
Go ahead.
I would just make one point. If the court determines that the road is not a mine, it will permit operators not only to avoid, to structure their business arrangements, not only so that they avoid their own liability under the Mine Act, but so that they will actually deprive miners of Mine Act protection. Surely this was not the result Congress intended. And if the court determines that the road is not a mine, it will effectively eviscerate Section 3H1B for all mines. And there are many which operate on leased property, and certainly that is not something Congress could have intended. Absent any further questions.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Counsel for National Cement, you asked, you still want to file something supplementary?
Your Honor, we would like to be given an opportunity to do that if you think it would be helpful to
the
court.
If you want it, you can do it if, what's today?
Today's Tuesday.
Submit it by Friday.
Very good.
And the government, you can file a response to it by the following Tuesday. Okay?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. The case is